We thank God for his grace in our lives. Amen. The power of words. I read somewhere that the truth behind words lies with the company they keep, which is very close to the phrase, a person is known by the company they keep. What company are our gospel words keeping today? What do these combination of words invoke within us? How do these words connect to us? What are these powerful words trying to give to us? Perhaps this symphony of words is trying to express the inexpressible, trying to open us up to hear God's inner self, God's loving heart, God's offer of covenant, words which brought to life all of creation, the Word becoming flesh in Jesus, even when knowing that the people would miss the point and turn their backs in reply. But the Word loves us anyways. So here we have, by God's example, a right use of words. But how often do we ourselves get our words wrong? I only recently heard a song called Pretty Hurts, and I was struck by the words of the song. So I did some Googling and discovered this is a collaborative song written by Sia. Is that how you say that? Sia? Okay. And I gotta ask the younger people. And Beyonce. And the song deals with body image while also being a cultural critique. The opening stanza goes, Mama said, you're a pretty girl. What's in your head, it doesn't matter. Brush your hair, fix your teeth. What you wear is all that matters. With the closing stanza, pretty hurts. Shine the light on what's ever worse. Perfection is the disease of a nation. And coupled with a heavy audiobook I'm listening to titled Good and Mad, The Revolutionary Power of Women's Anger by Rebecca Traister, which is a cultural commentary on the story of female anger, the ways anger is received when it comes from women as opposed to when it comes from men, while offering a glimpse into the galvanizing force of women's collective anger, which, when harnessed, can and has changed history. And then, stirring into that mix, is a current barrage of political vitriol, of dehumanizing words, language intentionally used as a weapon. And put all this together, and at times it fills me with this silent seething. And when I am in this space of anger, feeling helpless to change anything, I realize that this then is the trap to be wary of, the trap of anger turned into something darker and internalized. And the only way out of the trap is to pray for my anger to become action, action that brings about change and voices the need for change, to pray for others, to pray for this nation and all nations, to pray for myself to keep my heart open, because every act of kindness, every act of compassion is a subversive act of defiance in the face of messages that seek to divide us and keep us othered, keep us in an us against them way of seeing the world. That othering message shouts, there's not enough for everyone. Those people are getting what you deserve, and those people are taking it from you. This is a lie, and it is not the gospel message. Jesus is always telling us and showing us that together there is always enough. We are each beautiful. We are each good. We are each loved, and we are each enough. David Bentley Hart is an Eastern Orthodox theologian who expresses God's abundant love as, "We have a God who apparels himself in common human nature, in the form of a servant, who brings good news to those who suffer, and victory to those who are as nothing, who dies like a slave and outcast without resistance, who penetrates to the very depths of hell in pursuit of those he loves, and who persists even after death, not as a hero lifted up, but in the company of peasants, breaking bread with them and offering them the solace of his wounds." From the fullness of Jesus' love for us, we receive grace upon grace through the light of his life for all people. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And we are asked to share this grace and this light with everyone we meet. Amen.